Hello and welcome to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Belinda Walia, and I want to thank you for joining me for what I know will be an incredibly powerful and heartfelt episode. Today we are opening up a conversation that touches the very core of human experience, trauma, resilience, and the lifelong process of healing. Our guest is someone who has dedicated her life to breaking the silence around child abuse, mental health, and generational trauma. Lisa Zarcone is a public speaker, author, artist, and child and mental health advocate. She is the author of The Unspoken Truth and The Book of Joanne, and she serves as the Massachusetts Ambassador for NASCA, the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, and the Regional Director for CASA, Court-Appointed Special Advocates, who support vulnerable children in the legal system. Through her work, Lisa empowers survivors to find their voice and reminds us all that healing is possible. Lisa, it is a true honor to have you here. Thank you for joining me. Please, will you share a little more about yourself to our audience?
Yes. Thank you, first of all, Belinda, for having me. I'm so happy to be here today and we can have this great conversation together. And first of all, I'd like to tell the audience, you know, my name again, Lisa Zarcone, child and mental health advocate, author, public speaker. My work just goes in so many different directions, and I'm really always excited about the things that I'm doing because I am just reaching out and touching people in so many positive ways. And as an adult survivor of child abuse, I really wanted to let people understand the reality of what happens behind closed doors and, you know, how children are put in these predicaments. And it shows, you know, the child's survival skills, resilience skills, all of these things. So again, writing my book, sharing my stories, advocating, it all comes back to, you know, teaching and bringing awareness to these strong topics of child safety and mental health.
And your book, which is incredible, The Unspoken Truth, how did it feel to finally share your story publicly after years of silence?
That was such a powerful moment. So I always knew inside my mind that I would write my own story one day because I always felt that it was a story that needed to be told. And when I decided to write my story, I did it a bit differently. I wrote it through the eyes of a child, giving the child's perspective of abuse right in the moment. So my story is a very raw, profound look at what child abuse looks like, sexual abuse looks like. And I really kept it in the rawest fashion so people could understand the realities. And to put it together and to put it out there, breaking the silence, was just such a magnificent moment. And to be able to hold my book in my hand for the first time, it literally brought tears to my eyes because I knew once I opened Pandora's box and broke the silence, I was never going to be silenced ever again.
And that's incredible. And it's so important for our listeners to hear that because there's so many that people that are silenced by trauma and abuse and things that are really quite disturbing, and writing from the child's perspective must have taken an enormous amount of courage, but it also gives readers such a raw and authentic window into the reality that so often remains hidden. And I really appreciate you doing that. You often describe yourself as a voice for the voiceless. What helped you find that voice, and what would you say to others who are still afraid to speak?
Yes, finding my voice. It was a very hard and difficult journey to get there because, again, writing my story, having to tap into those old memories and putting it in, again, the child's perspective was very difficult. But as I wrote and I went through my stuff and you know, really engaged in what I was doing, it just gave me that courage and that strength to go to the next level. Now it's on paper. Now I'm reading it out loud. Now I'm putting it out there for the world to see and to hear and to read. And it really, really was just, again, just so moving. And it pushed me to such another level because now it's like, okay, my book's out there, my story's out there. What am I going to do with it? This isn't the end. This is the beginning. This is the beginning of an amazing journey of stepping into my truths, stepping into, you know, my womanhood on such another level. And again, once breaking that silence, there was no turning back. And the more I spoke, the stronger I became, the more resilience, you know, comes forward. All of those things that just encouraged me to keep on going. I had an end goal. I always knew that I wanted, again, my story to be told. I wanted people to connect with it because there's so many people out there living in that silence. And I wanted to show them that if I stepped up with courage and faith and strength, that they can do the same thing. And once you break that silence, that's when your true healing journey begins.
Lisa, that's extraordinary. And what you've just described, moving from silence into strength and then realizing that the book wasn't the final destination, but the beginning of a new chapter, that's such a powerful message for anyone listening who feels stuck in their own silence. And you've taken something deeply painful and turned it into a platform that not only heals, but inspires others to rise up and speak. And that's incredible. Thank you for doing that. I'm curious, when you meet people who are still carrying that silence, unsure if they're ready to speak, what do you usually say to encourage them? I mean, writing about trauma is powerful, but can also be very painful. How did you take care of your emotional well-being while reliving those experiences? And then did you share that in your book for other readers, for people to understand that this is how you find your voice?
You know, when I first started writing my book, of course, I was in a very vulnerable state. I was working in therapy, disclosed my abuse finally after so many years, because I held my abuse silent for years upon years. And when I finally, you know, was able to speak about it. And it's interesting too, because when you write about it, it is in one sense, but then when you speak about it, it's in a completely different sense. And when you hear your own voice saying those words out loud, yeah, it validates all that you have been through. It brings it from the silence to being open. And now you're hearing it. You're learning how to accept those things that you never wanted to look at. And I honestly, I named it. I called it Taming the Beast. My abuse, my past was the beast that I never wanted to look at. And once I finally did, I worked towards taming the beast. And when I speak and I do public events, I share all these bits of my story. I share all these, you know, different levels of healing that I had to go on. And I always feel that that is what encourages people to look at that and listen and go, oh my goodness, if she can do it, I can do it. And I can tell you, at one of my events, a woman stepped forward afterwards and spoke with me. She disclosed her abuse to me, and she was in her late 70s. She had never spoken about it her whole life, held it silent, and disclosed it to me in front of her daughter. And mind you, there was definitely many tears and hugs and all of those things. But that really showed me what my purpose and goal for sharing my work is. It's about encouraging others to find the courage and strength to step up. And I always tell people, take it piece by piece, start at the beginning, go slow, offer a lot of self-care along the way because it gets messy. Healing is messy. But if you take care of yourself on that journey and you stop and take breaks in between, you will get there. It takes a while. It takes a lot, but you will get there. I always encourage people, start at the beginning and always go slow.
So Lisa, thank you. That framing of taming the beast is so vivid because you've shown how moving from the page to your own spoken voice can be the moment everything clicks, and naming it, hearing it, and slowly reclaiming it with compassion and pace. And I think for someone who's feeling that first wobble of readiness, what's a tiny, safe first step they can take today, something as small as a sentence they can write or a person they can tell is impactful. And when you've said for loved ones and professionals, when someone discloses abuse, what are the do's and don'ts in the moment so we respond with care? That helps as well, doesn't it? So your story about the woman in her 70s is proof it's never too late, and that presence and that gentleness, it matters. What would you want every listener right now to understand about timing? Why is it so important that they understand it doesn't matter what pace you're moving at, but it's important to heal by speaking out and having that voice?
Yes. You know, the thing I would say to anybody listening right now is, you know, healing is messy and you have to take it in very small doses and always start at the beginning. The first step in healing is finally saying the words out loud. And then I'll even take it back a step. You can write it first and then read it to yourself out loud. And then you're hearing those words out loud and you're stepping forward, and it doesn't matter how long it takes. As long as you are making those baby step forwards and caring for yourself in such a way. The story about this woman in her late 70s was such a profound moment for me. And it does validate that, again, it's never too late to start your healing journey, because we are all worthy of healing. We are all worthy of good things in our lives. And that's the thing that we have to remind ourselves, is that, okay, we've been through this awfulness, and everyone has a story and everyone's story is unique. But when you've been through these things, you have to remind yourself that you are worthy of better. You are worthy of healing and feeling whole again. And then you take those steps forward to do the work. And that's when it gets hard. And I think that's when a lot of people falter. And I faltered myself. Mm-hmm. I tried to do it all in one swoop, took it all in and said, I'm going to heal and I'm going to do all this. Boom, I failed. I failed because it's too overwhelming. It's too devastating to take all that past pain and try to do it quickly. It's not a quick sprint. This is a long journey that takes time, and you have to be kind to yourself along the way. And family members and friends who are on that journey with you really need to understand that they may see the perspective from their view, but they have to look at the perspective from the person who is struggling. And I truly believe when you look through the lenses of somebody else, you get such a better understanding of their struggles and their pain.
And that's so beautifully put. Thank you for that. And where you've spoken about other people that are on the same journey, healing, or even whatever they're experiencing, I know in your second book, The Book of Joanne, shares your mother's story and her battle with mental illness. What was it like revisiting that relationship in such a public way?
That was a whole journey in itself. And it was hugely impactful to me for many reasons, because, well, first of all, my mother was one of my main abusers. So if you go back to, you know, my story, The Unspoken Truth, I talk about, you know, my journey through childhood and adulthood. And my mother was one of my main core abusers because she struggled profusely with mental illness and didn't get the proper help and support that she needed. Now, stepping into her story, this is a story from birth to death, everything in between, and our relationship is mother and daughter. So I did have to walk her path, look through her lenses, learn her perspectives of how she viewed life through the eyes of someone who struggled with mental illness, with the loss of her son. We lost my brother at the age of 9. She lost her only son. And moving forward from that, she just could never recover. So I actually learned a lot about my mother on so many different levels because I walked her path. And it was hard at times to walk her path, but I can also say that writing her story, I can hear her. And my mother always shared stories with me, so I knew her journey, you know, not fully, but in depth a lot. And of course, our time together, but really filling in the blanks, really sitting with it, it just showed me a whole different side to my mom that I never was able to see before because I was always in fight or flight mode. I was always, angry and frustrated with what was happening in the moment. I never had time to think about how she got where she did and why it all happened. So it really gave me another level of healing and closure on many things because I was able to understand her life path so much better by writing her story. And I saw a lot of beautiful, beautiful qualities that my mother had that were robbed away from her because of mental illness.
Lisa, that's such a powerful reflection. It sounds like in writing her story, you not only honored your own truth, but also uncovered layers of your mother's humanity that might have been hidden beneath her pain and illness. And what do you think we misunderstand most about mental illness, especially in the context of motherhood or caregiving?
Yes, the biggest misconception is, first of all, nobody chooses to be mentally ill. You don't wake up one day and say, "Yes, I want to have mental illness. I want to live this struggling lifestyle." This is something that people are born with. This is something that people can, develop in life as, things happen. It could be trauma, it could be abuse, it could be all types of things that can bring on some sort of, mental illness. But the biggest misconception is that they are still real people. Real people with real feelings, with goals and dreams and wishes. My mother, all she wanted was to be a fantastic wife, mother. She was a hairdresser. She had such talent. So she had all these ambitions. And one by one, her mental illness took those things away from her. And can you imagine being that person and feeling like everything that you've dreamed about is being taken from you, and you're fighting to try to hold on to it, but you're also fighting for your sanity. And if you're not getting the proper help and support that you need, you're going to fall to the wayside. And then, unfortunately, labeled the stigma surrounding mental illness. And when you bring that into motherhood, the judgment is so high. And I do write about that in my book, the book of Joanne, on different incidents where my mother was highly judged and not understood at all, which really brought her to a dark place because she felt like she failed. And people who struggle, who do not get help and support, feel like they're failing at life. And that's a sad truth.
It is. And Lisa, that paints such a heartbreaking picture where dreams and talents and hopes slowly are stripped away, not by choice, but by the weight of untreated illness. So, how can families better support loved ones or who are living with mental illness without losing themselves in the process?
Yes, and it's hard. It's hard. I'm not going to lie. It's hard to live with somebody who struggles. Like my mother had extreme mental illness, and she rode that roller coaster and took herself off her meds. And I called it the crazy train. We rode the crazy train together because I was always trying to support her and help her. And it's really hard as family members to, first of all, watch it and live it with them. But the best advice I can give is if you have a family member who is struggling, first of all, educate yourself. Educate yourself so you understand the illness. And I think that's another thing. My mom, raised in the times where, mental illness was frowned upon. It wasn't talked about. My era in the 70s and 80s, it still wasn't talked about. So people were shunned and ignored. And that's unfortunate because that's why my mom didn't get the proper help that she needed. But to educate yourself on what is happening, what is the illness, where did it come from? And then always offer compassion and kindness because they're already struggling, they're already in pain. And that's kind of a double sword sometimes because when that person that you love so much is hurting you with their words and the emotions, it's very hard to hold on to compassion because you're also angry. So you have to offer yourself a lot of self-care and not blame yourself for things that are beyond you. But you also can walk that path with that person, be as supportive as possible, try to get them the help that they need. And always remember to keep your boundaries. There has to be boundaries. And I think that's another thing that I learned along the way. And it took me years upon years to learn that as well. I know from my teens into my adulthood, still very angry of my past, but still trying to support my mother. And my therapist said to me, Lisa, you need boundaries. You can still love your mother, you can still support her, but you still need boundaries to protect yourself. And that's important to remember when you go on that path with someone who's ill, that you still must protect yourself and you still need to have boundaries, because if you will get lost in the process if you don't.
And that's such a vital message for listeners. You don't have to choose between loving someone and protecting yourself. You can do both. Thank you so much, Lisa, for what you've shared so far. Your honesty and insight are incredibly powerful, and I know our listeners are already gaining so much from this conversation. We're going to take a short break now, so let's hear a quick word from our sponsors here on UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle, and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at ukhealthradio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with the skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the Healthy Debate Show. If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with the incredible author and mental health advocate Lisa Zarcone. And before the break, she shared the emotional journey behind her books and what it means to give voice to the voiceless. Lisa, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Belinda.
You're a child and mental health advocate, but also a creative, a writer, artist, and speaker. How do these parts of you support one another?
Yes. I mean, they're all key pieces. So, going back again to the beginning, as a young child, I used to take my backpack with my art supplies, my journals, all my things. I would go into the woods and I would sit quietly under these big pine trees. And I would like take in the senses of that, the smells, the sounds. I'd have my dog with me. And this was my way of giving myself a brain break because I was going through such horrific abuse at that time in my life. And that's where the creativity really came into play. It's interesting because children are so resilient and they find ways to protect their mind. And I developed those skills young because I went through a lot of difficult things at a young age. And I just enhanced on at all of them as I grew into my teen years and into my adult years. And they're all so very important because they all show different pieces of myself, my life, the creativity piece of sharing, you know, what's truly inside of you. And when you put them all together, you just get such a magnificent package of so much. And then you extend that out to other people, and it encourages them to hopefully do the same, tap into their own creativity, tap into those special talents, and really embrace them. And that just gives you just such a wonderful level of grounding and peace. It's very, very important.
And the image is so striking, where you're actually, you've got your backpack and your art supplies and your dog sitting under a tree. It just shows how intuitive children can be in finding ways to shield their minds and spirits, even in the midst of chaos. So thank you for sharing that. Tell us about your work with NASCA and CASA. Please explain what these organizations are, what kinds of changes do you believe we need in the systems meant to protect vulnerable children? Are some of the creative activities, things that you teach? Please share a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so I'll start with NASCA, because I've been with NASCA for a long time now. When my book is going to be out 9 years now, and right after my book came out, NASCA approached me. And NASCA is the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. And this organization is an online organization, but they do branch out into community as well. But the organization, the premise of it is to connect with adult survivors of child abuse so they can share their stories in a safe place. They can tap into, you know, different free services that are online offered to them. NASCA also has a radio show, Blog Talk Radio, which has now changed because Blog Talk is no longer. But they have their radio show where people can come on and share their stories, and other people can chime in and support them through it. So NASCA does a lot of great work for people who are trying to heal from what they've been through. So they approached me, asked me to share my story. And once I did that, I became an ambassador for them. So with that, you know, people will reach out to me privately asking for help and support. And that is what I do. I will, you know, find them services in their local communities, you know, offer my experience and advice the best way that I can. And it's just such a beautiful way to give back, because when you've been through these types of situations and you've hit a point in your life where you're okay to talk about it, and you know that what you're doing is going to help somebody get to the next level, it's just extending that hand. So that's really what NASCA is about. And it's been a really wonderful experience to be a part of it. I believe in it, because I do believe, you know, when we come together as that type of a community, we are supporting one another. And it's a beautiful thing. And then becoming a CASA advocate, which is a court-appointed special advocate for children who are in the court systems, that work is a bit different, because now I am meeting with families. I am meeting with these children who have been through so many different situations. And it's my job to get the research and find out what is happening and what is best for this child. What things does the child want, and what things does the child need? And then I have to take all that and bring it into the courtroom and present it to the judge and speak about these cases. And some of these cases are very difficult cases of child abuse. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the judge does go off of the advocate's recommendations many, many times to make the best decision for the child. It's really about the safety and well-being of the child. And this is something I've always wanted to do, because I was that child and I had no support. I had nobody to step up for me and be a voice for me. So now this is just another level of my work, because I am doing what I've always wanted to do and what I felt is what I need to do. And bringing the creativity piece into this, so workshops and presentations and talking about, again, my story, my path, the healing journey, you know, mental health, all of it. And I used to teach art therapy. So I did have a time in my life where I worked with teen girls in lockup. They were the ages of 11 to 18, and we did a lot of poetry writing. We did journaling. I taught them how to journal. But then we brought in art therapy. And it's amazing what people can do with art when they can't say the words out loud and they can put it on paper in such a way. And that creativity right there truly helps people who are struggling. I do believe in it. And I've tapped into all of these different things and they've all been amazing and wonderful. And I've seen fantastic results all the way around.
I think your role in what you do is incredibly and deeply challenging, but it's a vital role. And you're not only listening to these children, but you're also becoming their voice in a system that might otherwise overlook their needs. And the idea of that creativity, that's just a full circle moment. You didn't have someone to be your voice, so now you've devoted your life to being that voice for others. And I think that's beautiful that you have weaved creativity into it, whether through art therapy, poetry, or journaling. It gives people who can't yet find their words a safe outlet to express what's locked inside. And I think that's beautiful. And I understand that you're developing a children's book series based on your granddaughter, Phoebe. What inspired this, and what lessons do you want children to take away?
Yes, I think everything I do always comes back to creativity. I think you're seeing that pattern.
Yeah.
I do believe, again, it's important. And you did tap into something really important to say, is that when somebody cannot get the words out, to be able to use these other tools and skills is just such a wonderful way to find release. It's very important. And what brought me to writing this children's series is because my husband and I took in Phoebe at a very young age, and she needed us, as her grandparents, she needed us to keep her safe and keep her healthy and loved. And we wholeheartedly took her in. And as I'm watching her grow and develop, I'm seeing these different things where, you know, kids will ask her, oh, is that your parents? And she's like, no, it's my grandparents. And almost feeling a little uncomfortable by saying that, because other children had to have one parent or two parents around, and she did not. And it just made me think from the child's perspective of, you know, kids are seeing different family units and they have to be taught that it's okay. It's okay to have a unique family unit. As long as you have people in your little village that love you, support you, and keep you safe, and the structure and the balance, you have all these beautiful gifts. That's what family is about. It doesn't have to be the biological parents. And unfortunately, sometimes it can't be. And it inspired me to write these books about Phoebe and her bear going on these fantastic adventures with her grandparents. And the premise of it really is about teaching children that unique family units are okay, they are special, and it doesn't matter. It just matters that you are loved and safe.
And Lisa, that's such a beautiful bridge, because your creativity leading you into children's stories that reflect real lived experiences. You're absolutely right. Children notice differences in family structures very early, and without guidance, they can internalize shame or discomfort. And, you know, what you're doing through your series is so healing. You're normalizing those unique family units and showing children that what matters most isn't the labels, but the love, safety, and support around them. And I think that's beautiful. And I can understand that you've received the Woman of Impact Award and speak at events across the US. And I can understand why people are turning to you, because you have so much to share and it's so inspiring. But you've also been through intense hardship. How do you stay grounded and resilient?
Yes, that's a good question. Because there has been so many years of things happening, and getting awarded the Woman of Impact, that really was another full circle moment for me, because it's like people are listening. People are hearing, they're seeing the work that I'm doing. And I'm so very proud of this work, because I've really put everything into it all for purpose. And to be acknowledged for that was very humbling and honoring, and I was just so thrilled. But, you know, it's not easy at times because, first of all, for the work that I do, I'm always reminded of the reality of abuse. I'm always reminded of trauma and abandonment and all of those things. And it can get heavy at times, and it can give me these pings and pains of the past that do rear their ugly heads even so many years later. And that's another message to send out there. No matter how far along you are on your healing journey, there are always going to be those moments where you get hit with something that hits you in such a way. And my advice there is don't run from it. Sit with it.
Yeah.
Look at it.
Mm.
And then let it go, because you're okay, because you've already done the work. So for myself, when I find that I'm, you know, either being overwhelmed with these emotions because of the work I do, or sharing my stories and certain things will, you know, again, ping me or trigger me, I remind myself, first of all, that I'm okay. And then I do the work to ground myself once again. I talk myself off the ledge, so to speak. I do talk to myself from time to time. And that, you know, that's a thing. It's okay to talk to yourself because you're processing out loud. And when you hear your own voice again saying these things, it just validates what you're feeling and thinking. And I do that a lot. I will go outside into nature. That's my go-to. I find time to just be in the light, be in the sun, you know, take in the sounds and the smells and all of those things. And it brings me back to childhood, sitting under that pine tree, smelling that pine, hearing the leaves crinkle. All of those things are what grounds us. And I use those techniques that I learned in childhood to this very day, because that is what brings me back to baseline. And once I'm back to baseline, I take a few breaths and then I move forward.
Lisa, that's such a vital truth. Again, you can be years into healing and still feel those pangs resurface. And the wisdom in what you've just shared, don't run, sit with it. I love that. It reminds, and reminding yourself you're okay and grounding yourself again, it's so reassuring for anyone who fears they're failing when old feelings resurface. Thank you so much for sharing that, Lisa. What you've shared has been both heartbreaking and deeply hopeful. Thank you for holding space for such important truths. We're going to take another short break. When we return, we'll talk about faith, healing, and what Lisa hopes her legacy will be. Stay with us. We'll be right back on UK Health Radio.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list? Then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano, flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm Belinda Walia, and we're back with Lisa Zarcone, who has been sharing her deeply personal journey through trauma, mental illness, and advocacy. Lisa, I want to go a little deeper into what healing looks like. So I know that you shared earlier about being mindful of your surroundings, journaling, being creative, and just sitting with issues that have made you feel that you are failing in some way. And it's not going backwards, it's a part of being human. The strength is knowing how to meet those moments with compassion instead of fear. But there's the element of faith. Faith is something you mention often. What role has faith played in your healing and your work?
Yes, faith. I'm definitely a very deep woman of faith and spirit. I have felt it from the time I was a young girl. It always, you know, felt like it was with me, walking with me, you know, during the darkest times, losing my brother. So I think that's where it began. My brother was 9 and I was 6, and he passed away of leukemia. And he was my best friend, and he was my protector in so many ways because of my mother's instabilities. And when I lost him, I was devastated, and my whole family blew up. And I think at that point in my life, at such a young age, I turned to faith because I felt my brother. I felt his essence, his spirit. And I, as in any time of trouble, I would talk to him and I would feel that spiritual connection. And I always felt like he walked with me and guided me. And that's when my faith grew. And in times of struggle, it always goes back to faith. I will say my little prayers. I really hold on to spirituality. And that tapping into that has gotten me out of some very, very dark times in my life. Because when you have hope and faith, it gives you that glimmer of light. Again, that glimmer of hope that you can do this. You're going to make it. Keep fighting. Keep stepping forward, even if it's at a turtle's pace. You hold on to your hope and faith. You look at that glimmer of light and you go for it. You just keep on pushing forward. And that has always been a constant in my life. And I'm grateful that I feel the spirituality, because I know a lot of people struggle with that. And I never would put my own beliefs onto somebody else, you know, in regards to religion or things like that. But I look at faith and religion in a sense in two different lights, because faith and hope is about what comes from within, your own internal soul, your own spirit. And when you tap in and listen to that intuition and that little voice, that is what's going to help you through the most difficult times in your life.
Yes, and I'm deeply sorry for your loss at that time. Of course, what you're describing is remarkable. It's how you describe faith and spirit as walking with you through those darkest times, even in devastation. You found something that steadied you and actually carried you forward rather than holding you back. And what kind of legacy are you hoping to leave now for those around you in your family, not just through your books, but through the lives you've touched, through your experiences with your faith?
I think my legacy is about authentic truths, about being authentically truthful and open about the things that I've lived, the experiences, the wisdom I've gained, and all of these things that I've done that has brought me to this moment right here. And I hope people will look at that and look at me and say, wow, this woman has a beautiful, caring heart, regardless of what has happened. And in spite of it all, she rose above it to be better, to do better, to turn around and extend that helping hand, and always, always cares about people in general and their well-being. It's not just about my journey. It's about the journey that brings us all together. I really think that would be and should be the legacy, because it is the essence of who I am and what I do. It's really about authentic truths.
And Lisa, that's such a powerful legacy to claim, one rooted in authentic truth, lived experiences, and a heart that keeps choosing to rise and extend a hand to others. What you've described is more than survival, it's transformation. And finally, Lisa, for anyone listening who's feeling silenced by trauma, shame, or fear, what message would you like to leave with them today?
First of all, I would say, don't be so hard on yourself. You have to learn how to love yourself. You have to learn how to love all of you. And it's so very difficult when you feel shame, regret, trauma. It's hard to see the goodness, but you have to remind yourself over and over again that you're a good person and that you deserve better and you're worthy of good things in life. And be your own cheerleader. I'm a firm believer in that as well. You can be your own cheerleader every day. Tell yourself, I got this. I can do this. And then there's days where you might feel like you can't and you say, okay, it's all right to ask for help. I am human. I'm not a robot.
Yes.
I need some support right now and I need a safe space to speak. And these are the things that you just have to remind yourself moving forward, because many people do live in silence and many people live in silence for their whole lives. They never disclose or share their trauma or abuse and they're trying to survive. They're trying to keep their head above water. And if you're not in a place to be able to share right now, hopefully you will be able to get there with love and support. But it all starts out with loving yourself and reminding yourself that you deserve good things.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Lisa. It's been so inspiring, and for sharing your story with such honesty and heart. You've shown us that healing is possible, that creativity and faith can be anchors in the storm, and that every survivor deserves to be heard. Lisa, where can our listeners find you?
Yes, they can find me at my website, lisazarcone.net. I always encourage people to come and, you know, I have a contact page. They could write to me privately. I answer every single person that comes to my website because I believe it's important. If somebody is putting themselves out there and want to share, I would never turn that person away. So please come check out my website. I have poetry. I have my blog page, which I absolutely love. All the information about my books, my events, just a little bit of everything there. But there's a lot to offer. And my blogs have many different great topics. So I encourage people, go to lisazarcone.net, find me, write to me. I will definitely share and speak with you. So please come on over.
That's amazing. This has been the Healthy Debate Show on UK Health Radio. I'm Belinda Walia. Until next time, stay courageous, stay compassionate, and lead with love. We'll close today's episode with a song that beautifully captures the strength and softness of rising from adversity. Here is Scars to Your Beautiful by Alicia Cara, a song that reminds us that there's no shame in our scars and no need to hide who we truly are.
The light is shining, deeper than the eyes can find it. Maybe we are made of blind souls. She tries to cover up her pain and cut her woes away. Cause cover girls don't cry after the face is made. But there's a hope that's waiting for you.